Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Jennifer Zamparelli, 2FM. Good morning. So in recent weeks, we have seen the likes of Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos push midlife crisis to new levels by heading off into space and then telling everyone about it, whether, you know, we cared or not. But what if you're not a billionaire? How can a normal person get to space? Well, it is not easy, but my next guest is in with a shot of being the first Irishman in space. I'm delighted. Cillian Murphy is on the line. Good morning, Cillian.
Hi, good morning.
Not to be confused with Cillian Murphy, famous for Peaky Blinders. Let's just clarify that before we really, really confuse people. You are actually in with a shot of being becoming the first Irishman in space. Can you explain to our listeners how that happened? How are you in with a chance of going to space with the European Space Agency?
Sure. So at the end of March of this year, the European Space Agency issued a call that we had been anticipating for some time for new astronaut applicants to join their astronaut corps and prepare for future missions to space. So we're kind of at a breaking point, a threshold point in, let's say, the whole space industry right now, where we may be seeing the end of the current International Space Station in the not-too-distant future, and we'll see future space stations. We will see missions to the moon and possibly even manned missions out to Mars. And in preparation for those things, ESA will be preparing new astronauts to join their corps and to, let's say, prepare the next generation of astronauts to go and embark on those missions.
Incredible. How many people are in the running, and how will they eventually decide who goes?
So the count that ESA has shared was 22,589 applicants from all of its member states. And probably your listeners will be more interested to know that I am one of 270 Irish applicants.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God. OK, so apart from the brain power required, how fit do you need to be?
Surprisingly, not so fit. Most people imagine astronauts as though they are Olympians. It's not really required that you be ultra fit, healthy, strong. You don't need to be superhuman. The basic requirement is that you be in good health. So you need to have the discipline to be regularly doing exercise and keeping yourself fit and healthy. And you need to be generally healthy in yourself. Another thing people would often be surprised by is that you don't even need perfect vision. If your vision can be easily corrected, you can still apply to be an astronaut in spite of those things.
Cillian, how long have you been working towards this goal, and how do you go about it?
Me personally, I've been working towards it for about 10 years now. It's a decision that I made to try and pursue this when I started in university in UCD back in 2011, which is when I started. So I've been working towards it since then, kind of gearing each step of my career towards trying to make myself a viable candidate. There's no way to guarantee yourself being selected, but there's so many incredible people. None of us can say hands down that we will be picked, but we've all worked up until this point to have the skill set required to present ourselves as viable candidates, someone who could be an astronaut. And it's up to ESA to decide which one of these thousands of incredible people they actually want to take. Now, I say one, they will be taking 4 to 6 new career astronauts and approximately 20 reserve astronauts for the very first time, which will be people who will stay in their day job but will be identified and trained to be prepared to do a 4-year contract on demand to do a mission in space.
Do you have a day job?
I do. I'm working as a process engineer in Hungary.
Oh, wow. And what kind of preparation or simulation of life in space have you done before?
Personally, I've worked for a few years with the Austrian Space Forum and some of their astronautical space research. So they focus on doing simulated Mars missions, preparing the technology and the mission parameters for future missions to Mars. So they go to deserts or other Mars analog locations here on Earth with trained people who are stand-ins for future astronauts. who are highly professional, usually working in the space agencies already themselves, often close to the astronauts who are working in space. So these are very highly qualified individuals. They're very good analogs, representatives for astronauts. And they would go through a simulated mission over relatively short timescales, but they allow us to prepare for what it will be like when we actually go to Mars someday in the future. And I also personally was an analog astronaut myself with a different organization called Lunaris, which is based in Poland. So I did a two-week simulated mission myself, which was focused more on the isolation aspect and the psychological impact on the crew of six that we had.
Incredible. Let me ask you this then. How does it feel to you when, you know, you have to do all this work to then just see some billionaire just throw money at it until they get into space? How does that feel?
I mean, there's been a lot of discussion on this subject, but I don't really see it as comparable. Yes, they've been to space, although that depends very significantly on your definition of going to space. Where they've been is still a long way short of where the International Space Station is, for example. It would be similar to an extra high version of a parabolic flight that space agencies already conduct regularly for science and astronaut training, where they would fly up high and fly down at a steep angle to give a short experience of microgravity, where you feel like you're floating because everything is falling with you. So it's more akin to that. They've essentially just done a very expensive private parabolic flight, is pretty much the way I see it. They've done this thing. What I would credit them for is, whatever their motives, their contributions here do help to advance the technology and inspire the public. Yeah. And so there's definitely upside to what they're doing. But I don't really see them individually as particularly comparable to a career astronaut who's going to space and doing continuous research. Like, those astronauts haven't gone to space on a joyride. Those astronauts are there as professionals, and they are doing work that benefits everybody here on the ground. Academic institutes across the world are proposing this research and conducting it and taking these results and making discoveries based on the work that is done by the astronauts in space. And there really is no point of comparison between being a passenger in an expensive flight and doing six months of intensive research.
Absolutely not. Well said. Cillian, you must have done really well in your leaving cert.
It depends. Again, it's relative. I did fairly well. I had just 495 points, if I recall, which, lucky for me, was just enough to get into my first choice, of course, but not as well as you might have imagined for somebody who's trying to become an astronaut.
So what would you say to, we have a lot of younger listeners, so what would you say to a young person listening now about how to get themselves into the kind of work that you do?
One thing that I would definitely emphasize from my personal experience is that it's not about natural talent. It's not about being top of the class. It's not about being good at it from the start. It's about having the passion to work through the difficulties. If there's something that you really care about, that you find really interesting, that excites you, then no matter how hard things get, you have the motivation and the drive to work through those difficulties and keep on that road. So personally, maths and physics and these requisite courses, I did physics at university, but they were my lowest grades at Leaving Cert. And that didn't deter me. These were the things that excited me the most. I didn't have a huge natural talent in them, but I loved the subject. And I went into it in spite of it. And I worked my way through the difficulties and I made great connections. So that was the main thing I would emphasize, is you don't need to be a natural prodigy at things. If you love it, then do it.
Well said. Cillian, thank you so much for joining me today to tell us about your dream of space travel and how you're going about it, and some lovely words of wisdom to all our younger listeners. Cillian, thank you so much and best of luck.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Bye. We'll be back after this with even more space cadets. You, my listeners, probably on the phone.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.